As I said earlier, it's really lovely to be here this morning. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles at Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. So you'll find that on page 706. So 706, it's the very last few verses of Matthew's Gospel. So let's read and listen closely to God's Word. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Be to God. This morning we're going to explore what is probably one of the most famous passages in the Bible. You're probably familiar with it. Some of you may even be able to repeat it. And sometimes with passages that were familiar, if you're anything like me that have been a Christian for a few years, there is always the danger that you think, tick, I know that. So if that's you, maybe try and make sure that you know it as we go through it this morning. It's famous because it's Jesus' last instructions to his followers. Now, it's only a few verses, but we want to look at them and see what we can find out about what was important to Jesus that his disciples would know. So, in terms of time, we're between Easter and Ascension. And Jesus and the disciples are back in Galilee. So they're no longer in Jerusalem, where the amazing events of the Holy Week took place, Jesus coming into Jerusalem, the crowd singing Hosanna, and then Jesus being betrayed, Jesus being crucified, and then Easter Sunday, the empty grave, the disciples wondering, the angel appearing, Jesus appearing. So all this happened in Jerusalem. But Jesus had told his disciples to go back to Galilee, where most of Jesus' ministry had taken place. And we read at the very start here, when they went to Galilee, they went to the mountain that Jesus had told them to go to. Verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now, I don't know about you, but that is always an encouragement to me. Because, you know, we sing wonderful songs of faith when we gather together on a Sunday. But there are times, I think, in most Christians' lives, when maybe because of what's going on in your life or whatever, a little doubt enters your mind. And that happened to the disciples. Some of them doubted. So that's an encouragement to me. So don't think, if doubt comes into your mind, don't think I'm the worst Christian ever. Think, why am I doubting? What do I believe? Let me check this out. And one of the best pieces of advice I got, which is very simple, so it doesn't explain everything, but it was an encouragement to me. Believe your beliefs and doubt your doubts. Just because doubt comes into your mind doesn't mean that it's right. We know after the resurrection, when Jesus appeared in Jerusalem in the upper room, there was one disciple missing. That was Thomas. And he came back. And the other disciples told him that Jesus was alive and had appeared, and were told he doubted. But isn't it wonderful that the following week, when Jesus appeared again and Thomas was there, Thomas worshipped God with what many people think is the highest honor that you could give. He worshipped Jesus by saying, "My Lord and my God." So if you're somebody to whom doubt has come or is in your mind this morning, do seek to deal with your doubt, but don't live under condemnation just because you've doubted. Now, the sermon this morning is going to be very easy to remember because it's all about the word all, and there are 5 points. So here's the first one. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." Now, why was that important? It was important because Jesus wanted his disciples to know that he was in charge, and he is in charge. He wanted them to know that God the Father had put him in charge of everything in heaven and on earth. It wasn't the first time that we read this in the Gospels. In the Gospel of John, we read something similar. In John 13, verse 3, which is in the upper room, just before Jesus washes the disciples' feet, the verse says, "Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God." So Jesus knew exactly his position, that God the Father had put everything under his control. The Bible teacher John Piper has listed what's included in that phrase, all authority. And he says it includes creation, it includes the world being sustained, it includes authority over Satan, authority over disease, authority over sin, authority over people's hearts, and authorities over the mission of the church. So it's comprehensive. Jesus is in charge. I think even when our brother prayed this morning, he reminded us that God is in control. And that's something that we really need to hold on to in days that are very uncertain in our world and perhaps in your world. So Jesus is in control. Jesus is in charge. So Jesus starts by reminding them that all authority has been given to him. Now, our next slide talks about all nations. And Jesus said very clearly, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Now, what's very nice to me to say at this moment is that whoever you are in this room this morning, and you can always be guaranteed in Emmanuel Church that there will be many nations, your nation is up there. Maybe you come from a tiny country and the name of your country mightn't even be visible, but you're up there. And you're there, you're here this morning, is because the message of Jesus is for everyone. And that's what Jesus wanted his disciples to know and to bring it to everyone. The disciples who were listening to Jesus were all Jewish. So it must have been a huge thing for them to hear that Jesus wanted them to go to all nations. Now, I don't think at that time they would have known how big the earth was, but they would have known that the Roman Empire was big. Some of them perhaps would know people who had traveled, but it was a huge, overwhelming task to be told. But just before the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, we read this in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he gave them a few more details about how this was going to happen. He said to them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So they were going to tell about Jesus in Jerusalem, which they knew well, in all Judea and Samaria, which basically the country of Israel as it then was, and the ends of the earth. So it was going to be gradual, but it was going to be all-encompassing. And, you know, in this room this morning, there are people from many nations. And you're probably here for two reasons. Firstly, you're here because somebody, some disciple at some point in history brought the message of Jesus to your country. For us who were born here in Ireland, we look back to St. Patrick and the story of how he brought the message of Jesus to this country. But there's a second reason, probably, why you're here this morning, and that's because somebody in your life told you about Jesus. Maybe it was somebody in your family, maybe it was somebody in your country. There are many people, many Christians in Ireland, and they only hear about Jesus for the first time when they come from their country to live in Ireland. But we're all here, more or less, I would think, because somebody came to our country to tell our country about Jesus, and somebody told us at some point about Jesus. So the message of Jesus to his disciples was to go to all nations. The next all is all things. Jesus said that he wanted them to teach them to obey everything, which you can equate to all things I have commanded you. And that's something that we need to remember. Followers of Jesus are to obey everything that he taught. It's very popular in Ireland, and has been for a number of years, for people to pick and choose what they believe. They might say, oh, I like some of Jesus' words, I find them very inspiring, but I also like to think of what the Buddha said. Or I have my own ideas, and I'm quite a spiritual person. I'm not hemmed in by having to believe a certain group of teachings. It all sounds very popular, as I said, in Ireland today. But, you know, when you boil it down, people are saying that they know better than Jesus. It's a tremendously arrogant thing to think. And, you know, very sadly, some, even in parts of what the visible church in Ireland and in other countries, they even try to ignore the plain teaching of Jesus on some matters, just so they can be more in line with popular culture around. Jesus did not want his followers to be popular. We all like to be popular. We all love it when we get a like on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. Jesus didn't particularly want his followers to be popular. He wanted them to be obedient, and he wanted them to be thorough. So it's good for us to be reminded, as the first disciples were, that it's not for us to try and change or modernize the message of Jesus. It's for us to obey it. Now, I'm not saying that we should present the message of Jesus in old-fashioned language, but what we should do, and the calling of the church in every generation, is to present the message of Jesus in a language and in a way that that generation will understand, but not to change it. So, all things they were encouraged to remember and to teach. Now, I've amended the next one slightly. So, okay, let me explain. Jesus said, surely I am with you always. Now, I believe that that can be understood in two kind of ways. It can be understood in terms of time, that every day Jesus will be with us, and that is true. It's a wonderful promise. But I also think there's another level of meaning, that Jesus will be with us in all the ways that we go. And I just want to draw out a little bit from this slide. Because this slide, which is full of road signs, it just kind of underlines to us, even when we are driving, there are so many ways that we can go. And, you know, that's a bit like life. Every day, every week, every month, we have often very different options open to us as to what way we should go. Sometimes we may have to stop and slow down. Sometimes we'll meet a roundabout and we won't know which exit to take. But as followers of Jesus, let's listen to this promise. Jesus will be with us all of the ways that we go. Now, sometimes we have our plans fully laid out. And you might be like having a sat-nav where you don't, in many ways, have to worry about the road signs. Just whatever you're told, do, and it should get you to your destination. But life isn't always like that. Jesus tells us clearly how we should live, but he often leaves it up to us to work that out in our family circumstances, in our education, in our work, in our social life. He leaves it to us to work out how to live faithfully for him in all each of those contexts. But he promises to be with us. He will be with us in our family. He will be with us in our work. He will be with us in our study. He will be with us in our social life. So all of the ways that we go. It's a wonderful reassurance that there's nowhere beyond the presence of Jesus. Earlier, we had some pictures up on screen of brothers and sisters who were in prison. What I know for sure, because I've heard many who have come out from prison testify to this, is that God has been with them in their prison cells. So even prison cells are not beyond the presence and power of the Lord Jesus with his people. Listening to the Lord Jesus on this occasion were 11 Jewish disciples. We've already kind of remember that. The Bible doesn't tell us precisely where each of them ended up, but tradition suggests that of those 11, 10 of them ended up being martyred for their faith. Some in what was Israel, most beyond in some of the other countries adjoining Israel. Some thought that Thomas, for example, got as far as India and there was martyred. So the Lord Jesus was promising his disciples, and it was a reality for them, all of the ways that they went, he was with them. Life wasn't easy. It didn't end the way maybe that they would have hoped. But Jesus was with them all of the ways, and he will be with us all the ways that we go. And now to our final slide. All the days. Now, you need to have good eyesight to see what's up on the screen there, but it is basically a calendar from 2024 to 2031. I wonder where you're going to be in 2031. I did a slight experiment on my phone. I brought up the calendar app and I started to scroll. And I scrolled really fast, and I scrolled and I scrolled, and after, I don't know, a minute or so, I got to 2380. And I still hadn't got to the end. And I just gave up. Amazing, as you flick through, and you couldn't even see the numbers I was flicking through, each one representing a year and tiny numbers representing a day. The second part of Jesus' wonderful promise is that it lasts to the very end of the age. They're the last words of Matthew's gospel, to the very end of the age. So, wherever you and I are in 2031, Jesus will be there with us. And that is a reassurance to take with us. And, you know, the very end of the age, we've sung about it. We've sung about, right at the start of the service, about salvation, or sorry, we read about salvation belonging to the Lord and about being gathered round his throne, praising him. So, in 2380, well, probably we'll have moved from time to eternity, so it won't be relevant. But we will be with the Lord around his throne, praising him. Jesus' promise is for all time. And it's also for each one of us. A few weeks before this, again back in that upper room, just before Jesus was betrayed, Jesus gave a lot of teaching during that on that particular night. But he spoke to the disciples, John 14, verses 1 to 3, and he said, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that weren't so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." What reassuring words that must have been for the disciples. I wonder what they felt a few weeks later when Jesus ascended into heaven. You know, it's an amazing occurrence. One minute his feet were on the earth, and then the next he was taken from their sight. But they had this promise. He was going to be with them by his Holy Spirit all of the ways that they went, all of the days of their lives. And after that, there would be a home prepared for them in heaven. So, let's remember that Jesus has all authority, that he sends his followers to all nations, that his followers are to obey all things that he has commanded, and that he will be with us in all the ways that we go and all the days of our life. So with this reassurance in our hearts, let's go into this new week and serve our Lord. In a moment or two, we're going to sing the closing song. And when Kieran was preparing for today and telling me what was going to happen and what songs were going to be sung, I just had a look at some of the words. And the closing song today fits in so well with what we've been learning. It reads like this: "Come young and old from every land, men and women of the faith. Come those with full or empty hands, find the riches of his grace. Over all the world, his people sing, shore to shore we hear them call, the truth that cries through every age, our God is all in all. Our God is sufficient. Our God is all in all."